You might say, well, Brother Dan, that's a weird name, shrimp theology. What in the world does that mean? Well, how many of you know that in the Old Testament, there was a fellow named Jonah. He received some pretty good whale theology. Amen? And the Lord showed me some things, and I'll explain it in just a minute. And then later on, that same Jonah had some gourd theology, if you know your Bible. And then a man in the New Testament named Peter, he had rooster theology. Would you all agree with that? And then there was also a prophet, a false prophet at times, Balaam. He had some donkey theology. So where I'm going with this is I enjoy, we have a trip we take every year to Florida, and we've been blessed to do that. And is there anybody here that's ever done any shrimping by any chance? Any shrimping? Well, I hadn't either until I got down there. And let me just briefly tell you what that's all about and then how the Lord spoke to me through that. In Florida Bay, there's millions of shrimp that are in the weeds and in the bay. But at every time, at a certain time of year, they'll lift up out of there. And if you get all the stars line up, as they say, you get a full moon, you get a high tide, and you get a good wind, they all lift up and they go with the current, and they're trying to go to the ocean. So the only thing between them and the ocean is these cuts, these rivers and these channels. And they all have to go through there to get to the ocean. So if you're blessed enough to be, like in my case, I'm in a 12-foot inflatable boat. I'm in the front of that boat with a headlamp and a bucket and a big old net, and I'm ready. And all of a sudden, there comes one there. Okay, there's one way over there, and you reach out these big old nets, you know. And then all of a sudden, when it's all right, they come so fast and furious, you can fill up that 5-gallon bucket in no time. In fact, you don't have to reach out. You just hold it right there, and there they come, and you get them shrimp. So that's shrimping in a nutshell. And I love shrimp, by the way. It's good eating. And I'll tell you what, the Lord spoke to me through these little shrimp. And so when I get this little shrimp, I said, man, I could eat that thing. That'd be pretty good. Or I could take that 4-inch shrimp and I can put a hook in it and I can cast that out or sew that shrimp into the water. And if I'm blessed, I can get me a 27, 30-inch fish. So that's a pretty good exchange. I just took a 4-inch shrimp and I converted it or sewed it and I received me a 30-inch fish. So instead of just having something that only weighs an ounce, I could get something that weighs 5 pounds. I'd say that's a pretty good reward. That's a pretty good exchange to be able to throw that. So what we're talking about is the principle of sowing and reaping. And this is what the Lord showed me. He says, you can take that and if you sow that, I'll bless you with even more. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark the 4th chapter and verse number 3, it's just one real simple verse. It says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. All right, we know this story, right? We all know this story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to be with us today. Teach us as only you can. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher, and we look forward to what you have for us. For we ask it in Christ's name, and everyone says together, amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you know when it says, behold, there went a sower out to sow, you have to, if you're a farmer and you got seed, you got to sow it. Now, Brother Dave, if I had a jar full of heirloom seeds and you and I sat down at your kitchen table and we looked at those seeds and I told you all about my seeds and you said, those are beautiful seeds. I love those seeds. But we never did nothing more than brag on those seeds. There wouldn't get a whole lot of crop, would we? You got to sow some seed into this world. If you're a farmer, you got to get off the couch. You got to get out and you got to sow some seed. All right? Same for the trout. I cannot catch the trout unless I'm willing to sow something into the water to get that. So it's really a pretty simple thing. You have to do that. And the Lord gave me a great message one time. Is your seed still in the barn? And when we're talking about the seed, we know it's talking about the Word of God, okay? It's talking about giving the Word of God to people. So today, I want to encourage you and uplift you in this area, but also challenge you. We have this thing called the Great Commission, and all Christians should know it, right? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? That's a pretty simple mandate, and it's not just for your pastor, and it's not just for your elders, it's for every single person. That's what we should be doing. When Jesus said, I got to be busy about my Father's business, that's what he was talking about. And it's the same for you and I today. You have to be busy about your Father's business. Would you all agree with that? We should be sowers of the Word of God. And you say, Brother Dan, I don't know a lot of the Word of God. Well, you need to get in the book because it's there. You know, it's there to be had. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When you have people that are Christians and all you hear about is sports, entertainment, fishing and hunting and on, and you never hear any of the Word of God, they need to get some Word into them so that they can sow forth that Word, that when they speak, that people will hear the true Word of God. And to me, that's a very, very important thing right there. So you got to sow into this world, okay? If you keep that word, you know, I know a lot of people that know the Word of God. They can quote scriptures, they know, they can tell you things, but they're not getting out telling anybody about it. It's all inside, and they'll just share it with other church people. Folks, if you got a job, if you got a family reunion that you're going to, if you got things that you do in this world, that word, that needs to be sown, and you need to be led by the Spirit of God, by the way. When I first got saved, I didn't know about being led by the Spirit of God. All I knew is I had to tell everybody about Jesus, so I did it wrong. This is me a couple of weeks into getting saved. I take the Bible like a sledgehammer and just nail people with it. Say, you need to hear this, you know, and just, it was so terrible. It really was. I wasn't being led. I left the Holy Spirit in the dust, man. I was just way ahead of Him, running after everybody. You need to hear this. This is the Word of God. No, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. He'll tell you, it's time to speak to that person, and then you give them the Word of God. You give them that leading that the Spirit's given to you. So if you want to reap a harvest, here's the key. All these people that were trying to get saved, ultimately they're going to get saved, and they're going to help somebody else. So look at Mark, and we'll speed up a little bit. Mark, the fourth chapter, and verse 20, it says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, they receive the word, and then they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Folks, that's what we're ultimately after. And think about a man like Billy Graham, all the people that he led to the Lord, then all those people go out, and then all the people that they lead. Can you imagine how many people ultimately are coming to the Lord? And it all starts because you sowed the Word of God, and somebody received the Word of God. That's your duty in life, folks. That's your duty, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I know you know that, but it's one thing. The Bible says to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, right? So it's great that you know it, but it's time to, for all of us to maybe get out a little bit more and begin to spread the Word of God. So these are good returns on investments. It's sort of like fishing. There's sometimes when I fish, I'll catch a 10-inch fish, a 20-inch fish, a 30-inch fish, and just like it said, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. It's very good returns, okay? But I want to tell you about an amazing return in the natural. If you take a single kernel of corn, okay, and it's the kind that you plant, again, just like the shrimp, I'm holding that little piece of corn, I could eat the corn, and you go, well, that'd be weird, who eats corn? Well, actually, they have a thing called pemmican. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's dried corn, it's dried seeds, it's dried meat, and these hunters and adventurers walk around with that stuff, and it's like a snack. It's almost like trail jerky or whatever the things that people have. You could eat that kernel of corn, but if you take that kernel of corn and you put it in the ground and you cover it up, and then you need to pray. How many of you know we can't make that grow, but God can? How many of you know only God can make a tree? That's right. Think about it. Only God can do these things. But you do your part. You put it in the ground. You cover it up. That one kernel of corn will make a stalk. And they say that if you was to count all the ears on there, you would get 2,400 kernels of corn. So you took one corn and sowed it in the ground, but yet you got back 2,400. I'd say that's a pretty good return on your investment, wouldn't you? And it's the same with the Word of God. You see where we're going? When you preach the Word of God, when you speak the Word of God and it's received because you sowed it, ultimately all of these other people will come to the Lord through that gospel that you put forth. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting stuff. It really is. And I'm a fisherman. I love fishing. And I got to tell you that sometimes the water that you throw into is not productive. All right, any of you guys that fish know this. So down in Florida where I fish, there's only about 2 hours in the day, maybe three, that is the best fishing with the tides and just the way that things are down there. So you might say, where are you fish at? And I tell you, but you go at the wrong time there, you ain't going to catch nothing. you are very little. So it's got to be productive water. That's what the Bible was saying with these seed that the sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed goes to the wayside, and then the birds pick it up. Some of it goes into stony ground, right? It can't take root. Some of it falls among the thorns and the thistles. It's choked out by the cares and pleasures of this world. But some falls on that good ground, and it takes a hold, okay? The point is, you know, I've been to some lakes before. They tell me to fish this lake, and I don't know this lake. I've never been there in my life, so all I'm doing is what they call blind casting. I don't know the structure. I don't know nothing about. I'm just throwing it out there. Lord, help me to get something. I'm just winging it out there. Lord, help me. That's all you can do. But you still do it because that's called fishing. By the way, that's why it's called fishing and not catching. You know that, right? There's a lot of good fishermen, but are they catching is the question, right? And that's blind casting. But how many of you know, if you think about it, isn't that what we're doing with the Word of God many times? We're just giving it out. And we might be in a group of people. We have no idea who's going to receive it. We don't have any idea what the soil is. But it doesn't stop you from doing it because that's your commission. You are commissioned to go out and preach the Word of God. And that doesn't mean you select and go, well, that person, I know that's not good ground. I certainly wouldn't give him the Word of God. Yes, you should. You should give it to him anyway because God can do miracles through all of these things, okay? And so, I don't know about you, but I just want to be obedient to the Lord, and I want to use my talent to speak in the words that He's given me, and listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, I want to be effective for the Lord. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, one day. I do. I don't want to just be a slacker down here. I don't want to just be a pew warmer down here. I want to do something for my Lord and Savior. Why? Because He did something for me, okay? I want to return the favor, as it were. I want to give back. There's too many takers in this world and sometimes not enough givers in this world. So, folks, I would just say this to you. Be persistent. Get out there. Or we can say it this way. Get off the couch and get out there. And give the Word of God to people. Now, I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's the truth. Sometimes we get in our comfort zones, especially when we have church family that we can just love on and we love each other. You know, so that's the old saying, me, my wife, my two kids, us four and no more. That's what some people feel like. It's go into all the world, and it's your known world, your work, your neighbors, all your friends, all the acquaintances, you know. Somebody was wearing a Rural King shirt. When you're at Rural King, okay? By the way, you know if you go to Rural King, it counts as a date because they give you free popcorn. You can share that with your wife. Every time I say that, my wife says, no, I want to go to that steakhouse, you know. It don't count. Now, in the parable of the talents, all right, in the parable of the talents, you know this. Everybody knows this. Remember the master in this parable, he entrusted talents to three people, okay? He gave to one 5 talents, and one 2, and he gave to another 1 talent, all right? Now, these talents were large sums of money in this story, and they were entrusted with it as he went on his journey, all right? And so we know the story, how that the two, the ones with the 5 and the ones with the 2 talents, they were wonderful. They invested that money and doubled it. Now, any of you that's in the stock market, how would you like to have a double return on your investment pretty quickly? That'd be pretty good. Then the one, of course, hid his in the dirt. And this is in Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but you're welcome to. In Matthew 25:21, it says, the master returned and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. So that's what I was telling you. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Somebody quoted it. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, how many of you love Jesus? Amen. And we just learned a lesson that grace is the only way that we're saved. But yet Jesus said, yeah, you're saved, but now if you love me, I want you to keep my commandments. Well, here's a commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How simple can, you know, people say the Bible is hard to understand. That's not hard to understand. I understand that. I don't need a theologian to break that down for me. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Ask yourself, are you doing it? Are you really doing it? or are you just talking about it? We love to talk about stuff, okay? You know, whether you like our president or not, he's a doer. If you haven't figured it out, he gets things done. He doesn't just talk. How many of you are tired of politicians that talk, and they're great talkers, but they don't do it? I like people that do it, and so does God. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, okay? That's what it says. I'm just the messenger, okay? That's what it says. So the servant with the one talent was so afraid of losing it. He didn't have any spirit of confidence that he could gain any money. He buried it, and he thought, well, hey, I'm sure he'll be glad that I at least got the original investment. Here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew 25 and 27 through 28. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. Folks, this is serious stuff, okay? Because he went on to say, cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we could have a theological debate today about what exactly that means, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want no part of it. I don't want the Lord calling me an unprofitable servant. I don't want the Lord calling me a wicked and slothful servant. I don't want no part of it, do you? That's what I said. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I pray that you do too. You know, this is the seriousness of it, okay? Ask yourself, what am I going to have to show when that in that great time when we go before the judgment seat of Christ? Yeah, you're in heaven. But when we're actually examined for what did you do with the message that I gave you? Were you just a taker or did you give back? Now, I know this is challenging today, okay? It's not a fun message to always hear, but it's the truth. The Bible says to speak the truth in love, and that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm sharing with the... By the way, when I get these messages, and your pastor can attest to this and others, it started as a youth. When I was, I think I shared this before, when I was just 12 years old, the Lord saved me. And when I was 13, I was asked to preach to in the service like this. And there's people that have been here for 40 years, and I'm 13, and I've been saved a year. What am I going to say to them, you know? I said, Lord, you what do you... He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in the Word of God, and I want you to study it and seek me, and I want you to listen. And whatever I tell you, you tell them. I said, oh, that's it? Because that's it. I said, okay, I can do that. So I did that. She did speak to me. I wrote a bunch of stuff down, and all I did is share that with the people, and many people were blessed by that. To this day, that formula has never changed. Amen. I get before the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm going to this place. I need your help. How many of you know you got to pray that way? I need your help. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So I need his help, and I know you do too. So what I do is the same thing. I said, Lord, speak to me. And that's how I got shrimp theology, by the way. He said, you know that shrimp you love, okay? And you know how you like to catch that trout and them snook? Well, there's a bigger picture here. Share it with my flock. I said, yes, sir, I'll do it, Lord. And that's today. Now, how many of you know these talents, even though they were talking about large sums of money here, they actually can represent your abilities, your time, your resources, your opportunities? These are all the things that you can bring to the table that God can use, all right? So the next point here in shrimp theology is this. God uses small things. You know, a small little shrimp in the hands of a skilled fisherman can be very, very productive, okay? How many of you remember the story of Jesus when he was feeding the 5,000? Turn with me there, if you would. Mark, the 6th chapter. In verse 35, we'll read this. It's good to read some of this. We all know these stories, but I like it. Mark 6 and 35, it says, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And they said, that's like 7 months of wages. He said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, five and two fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down in companies in the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them the two fishes divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. My goodness, praise the Lord. That's a tremendous miracle that's in the Scriptures. And John's version says a lad had five barley loaves and two fishes. And the disciples in that, in John's version, said, but what are they among so many? How many of you know that that was a small thing, but yet God used it mightily? And you're going to see that small things, God uses small things, okay? See, many times we're sitting here waiting on God to do the miraculous, and he says, you feed them. You take care of the situation. And you go, but I don't have hardly anything. You know, what you have when God gets involved can become miraculous. Never forget it, church. It's the truth. What you have. Don't worry if your talent is small. Don't worry if your finances are small. Don't worry about it. Or even this one, your knowledge. How many of you say, well, I don't know a lot about the Bible. I could never do that. What God says is he uses small things. No matter what you have, bring it to the Lord and he can use it. How many of you remember David slew a giant with a small stone? Right? And guess what? David himself was small. God used a small boy and a small stone to take down a giant. And he can do that for each and every one of us in the sound of my voice. Do you believe that today? All right, how about Samson? You remember that story where he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? One jawbone. That ain't big. That's small. And there's 1,000 of them. And they're wearing armor. And God used this small thing. And then, by the way, do you remember these fishermen? The Bible says they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen, right? Didn't they say that about them? In other words, they're insignificant. What can these roughneck fishermen do? Well, when the Holy Spirit of God got involved, he could use them. He could use them mightily. They turned the world upside down, the Bible says. So, folks, all I'm saying is that we come to the Lord with excuses sometimes. We say, well, I don't have a lot to bring. I don't have this. It doesn't matter. In the hands of God Almighty, he can do it, my friends. And the Bible says that they took note that Peter and John had been with Jesus Christ. That's your answer. Have you been with the Lord? Are you full of his Spirit? Do you have his word? Do you have his blessing and have his calling? If the answers are yes, green light all the way, and God will be there with you. And don't ever doubt. Don't ever say, well, hey, look at me. I've got nothing. When God gets involved, that nothing becomes huge, okay? Never, ever forget it. God is in the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles, right? Would you all agree with that? He's the God of miracles. Do we believe it or do we just talk about it, right? He can do anything, amen? And miraculously, he can do it, and he's willing if we have the faith to believe it, all right? So the Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. So again, the next time you say, I don't have much, don't do that because you're despising your small things. Just say, God, here's the scripture for you. With God, all things are possible. So all of you right now, many of you could probably testify you're going through some things. Maybe you got family, you got friends, there's some situations, and you say, man, this is big. Well, how many of you know we serve a big God? He's bigger than all your problems. There's a song, God is bigger than any mountain. I love that song because it's true. God can do it. We serve a God who can do these things. And it's time that we start acting like it, and our faith needs to do that. All right, I'll give you an example of faith. That man that passed away, our senior pastor, God called him to build a church in West Virginia. And guess what he did? He went, okay. And he got down there with a shovel and a buddy and started digging a footer. No money. He just said, this is the spot. So some woman pulls up and says, what you doing? He said, oh, we're going to build a church here. And she said, well, you got a building fund? And he said, no, well, she goes, well, I'd like to help, you know. And he goes, well, we do now. We got one now. Thank you.
That's how it started. But you see, he knew God would provide. If God calls you to something, he'll provide. It's like missionaries. If God calls you to the mission field, how many of you know he'll provide for you? He's not going to leave you hanging out there. If he called you, now he might test your faith a time or two, right? But in the end, he'll be there for you. Never, ever forget it, all right? Amen. So finally, I want you to get this. When I went fishing down there, and I had my shrimp, and I caught all these fish, I was so blessed with fish. It was coming out of my ears. Here's what I did. I froze two cooler fulls for me and my family. I brought them home. But before that, I gave some to the neighbor on the left. Gave it some neighbor to the right, then across the street, then two doors down and four door, and then the couple streets over there, word got around, I gave them some. Then when I got home, I took some of those two coolers worth and shared some. When God blesses you, how many of you know we are to share? Amen? Now, I'm not saying give the farm away, but, you know, there comes a time when the needs of the church and the needs of the community, you know, we have to give. And that, my friends, is another way you can sow into the ministry. If you have been blessed and you give that way, you're sowing into God's kingdom. You get that? God showed me that. He said, look, I gave you a little shrimp, and all those little shrimp got you two coolers full of fish to bring home and give to everybody else, you know. But you act, and because you were obedient and you acted on that, God will bless you too. How many of you know the Bible says the blessings of God will overtake you? Have you learned that yet? The blessings of God will overtake you if you're obedient, if you follow God's plan. If, there's always a conditional for those things, okay? So here's a question. Why does God bless you materially and spiritually? How many of you would say, I'm blessed? I hope we all raise our hand. Because let me tell you, if you don't think you're blessed, I'll just take you to some third world countries or talk about them. And, you know, the stuff they eat and the way they wash, you would be sickened by it. Okay, we're blessed, every one of us. How many of you got running water? How many had heat last night when it got down to 34, right? How many of you have health care insurance of some kind? How many of you got some income? On and on, house, cars, right? We're so blessed, it's running out of our ears, all right? So this is where God will test your faith. Are you willing to be a giver or just a taker? All right, because that's what we do sometimes. We just want to be taking in. And always me, right? There's more to it than that. Here's why God blesses you, to advance his kingdom and to help other people. Let me repeat that. God blesses you to advance his kingdom and to help other people. And if you don't understand that, you need to. You need to see it because it's a beautiful blessing. You cannot outgive God. It's impossible. You cannot do it. Pastor Tim, down there at God's Glory, he ends his services like this almost every single time. He says, now go out there and be blessed so you can be a blessing to others. Amen. And the first time I heard it, I just said, oh, that's nice. Then he said it again. I go, yeah, that. Third time, it's like, yeah, I get it. Be blessed so you can be a blessing to others. Now that's spiritually and materially, all right? So that's the two things that, if you want to really be a servant of God, learn that. It's a truth. And God will bless you. You just can't outgive God. In fact, the scripture says in Corinthians, it says, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully will reap also bountifully. There's your principle of sowing and reaping. So if you're a farmer, now no offense. You were telling me about your garden, right? I'm going to pick on you. I said, you got a big garden? Because she's out in the country, right? She goes, well, actually, I just got these little raised beds. And, you know, that's usually how it goes. Everybody gets that big garden, they realize how much work it is, and they scale back. And I know some people that just have two little buckets, and that's their garden. They got four tomato plants in them, right? He that soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. No offense. You ain't going to have a lot to can that way. But, boy, they are nice, right? So if you want to really get a harvest, you got to have the big garden. It's the same in the kingdom of God. If you just sow a dollar in the plate every time, you're not going to receive back You see what I'm saying? You have to give. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But he that sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. And that is a principle that the Lord showed me with these shrimp. It really is. I put a lot of shrimp in that water, and I got a lot of fish back as well. Big ones, okay? So that was a beautiful lesson, and I thank God for it. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Amen. We say it, we talk about it, but then when it comes time to pull the wallet out, it's tough, isn't it? It is. It's just hard. There's something about giving, you know. We put conditions on it and this, that, and the other, but God will bless your efforts. It might be a small thing to you, but it can be a blessing to many other people. Sow bountifully into the kingdom of God and sow bountifully into your neighbors and into your friends and into your family, and God will bless you. How many of you have ever talked to somebody, they said, I don't have a lot of friends. I just don't have a lot of friends. What does the Bible say? If you want friends, what do? Show yourself friendly. Yeah, that's King James, right? If you want friends, show yourself friendly. Some of those people that say, I don't have a lot of friends, are the ones that's sitting off to the side with a scowl on their face and their arms folded, and as soon as the service is over, they're gone. You know, but I don't have any friends. If you want to understand sowing and reaping, you will sow yourself into the lives of other people. Make yourself available. Make yourself friendly. Actually speak to this person. Actually use words. And smile, you would be amazed at what can happen. If I could tell you how many times I met total strangers in my life that was just a chit-chat. But during the chit-chat, they said, hey, if you're ever down in, like one guy was in Florida, he said, if you're ever down in the Orlando area, you know, come on down, check me out. People say stuff like that, and nobody, I wrote it down. I'm going to follow up on that. So I waited a couple weeks. I didn't want to get too pushed. I said, hey, you remember? He goes, yeah, I remember you. When you coming down? I said, well, actually, I could come down, and that's how it started. I became friends like that with this person for 40 years. And then when he died, his wife asked me to do his funeral. All because I showed myself friendly. We chit-chatted. He mentioned this, and I followed through with it. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. Don't retreat back, okay? How many of you know the disciples actually did that, all right? And we need to do it too, all right? The Bible says the first of all the commandments is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half thy heart. No, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none of the commandment greater than these. You get it? Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor, right? You know the answer. That's a Christian. So the next time, don't ever let somebody accuse you of eating the pickle juice, okay? Let's always show the love of God. And how many of you have learned this? People don't care how much you know, Pastor, until they know how much you care. Now think about it. You can have a whole head full. There's some people here, I've heard many of you. You know the Bible. You know a lot about the Bible. But if that's all you're doing is throwing that authoritarian kind of Bible view on people, but never helping them, never, you know, opening up to them, never being friendly, never showing compassion and letting them know that, hey, I love you and I'm just here to talk. See, that's what they want. And by the way, when missionaries go to third world countries, that's why they feed them first. If you got them kids with them big bellies and they're starving and you just go right into the service and they're starving, it's going to be hard to hear you. They feed them first. They show them how much we love them. And boy, when they get that full belly and they feel much better, now we'll preach the Word of God to them. That's the principle. So sow love into your neighbors. All right, so we'll wrap this up. When we truly serve God, okay, and we truly obey God, and we truly have faith in God, as I said, the Bible says the blessings of God will overtake you. Now, I want to share this with you. My wife and I decided that we're going to do this tradition, and you might want to think about it. We have a jar, a big old jar, and it's called a blessings jar. Every single day that a blessing comes into my life, one way or the other, could be material, spiritually. You know, if somebody here, we have a great conversation, you'll be in my blessing jar, okay? What I do is, on a piece of paper, I'll write it down, put it in the jar. All day, all year long, 365 days, then on New Year's Eve, we have a little bit of sparkling grape juice, and this is just our time. We open the Bible to Deuteronomy, I believe it's the 18th chapter. It talks about the blessings and the cursings of God. And here it says, if you do this, yep, all of this stuff will happen, and the blessings of God will overtake you. So I pull one out and I read it. It might have been from January of last year. I got a 18-point buck. That's what it says. That's a blessing. Would you agree? If you go hunting and you get something, is that... If I caught a limit of walleye, I'm staying with the hunting and fishing stuff, I write it in there. And the wife, of course, she writes other things a little bit more serious than that, you know. Our grandson received a healing, puts that in there. So you get the idea. But it takes us an hour to go through the jar, and every time we don't even remember half of this stuff. But when we look at it, we are reminded of how good God is to us. So then, here's the verse on that, okay? What shall I render, therefore, unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? That's scriptural. That's in Psalm 116:18, I believe. What shall I render, therefore, unto the Lord for all those blessings that he's given unto me? See, that means I want to be a giver back, not just a taker. You see, if all I do is take the blessings of God but never give back, that makes me a taker. I want to be a giver as well. So you pray for me that I can continue doing that, and I'll pray for you all as well. How many of you know why the Dead Sea is dead? No flow out, and I don't believe there's any flow in. I don't understand it, but it's just stagnant, salty water. Folks, there's a lot of Christians that are just like that. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? That's what it's supposed to be. Your life is not to be stagnant. You receive the Word of God, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive revelation, and guess what? It goes out into sowing into the world. That's what we're supposed to do. But there's a lot of people who only take it in and hold it in. Like I said, me, my wife, us four, and no more. That's it. We got it right here. We're good to go. Life's good. We got everything we need. Lee, you do your thing. I'll do mine. No. We are to give it forth. And folks, if you get that into your spirit, if you get nothing else out of this today, take that with you, okay? So, let me end with this. John F. Kennedy famously said this. You remember this. He said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now, I didn't vote for his political party, but I like that saying right there. Now, that's the truth. Now, I want to take that and put it to God. Don't ask God what he can do for you, but what can you do for God? And that's the giving back part. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking God for our petitions, and we want him to help us in a lot of situations. But at the end of the day, he's not a genie in the sky. We need to come to him, and we need to say, Lord, what can I do unto you? Help me, show me, and be real about it. And if you'll do that, God will bless you mightily, okay? So the next time you see a shrimp, if you don't shrimp, maybe you go to the grocery store and you see it in the seafood aisle. Next time you see a shrimp, I want you to remember some shrimp theology, because he sure showed me this stuff. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. Believe me, there's times I had to go to the woodshed when I was preparing for this and say, Lord, how can I speak on this when I don't even do it all the time? He says, you're forgiven. Now go do better. How many of you know when you learn to do better, you just do better? You know, that's called growth, all right? So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you that, Lord, there's some good lessons here. And I just pray that everybody in the sound of my voice, Lord, that they'll receive the Word of God today. The Word has been sown from this pulpit today, and I pray that it falls on good ground and that each person will become doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And, Lord, I pray, help us to sow the Word of God. All of us have a measure of the Word of God in us. Help us to sow it and to fulfill that great commission. And, Lord, not just sow it, but sow it bountifully. Not sparingly, but bountifully. And I pray that I know you'll bless the efforts of all of us that do these things. And, Lord, help us to use whatever it is that you've entrusted in our care. Whether it's our abilities, our talents, our resources, money, opportunities, whatever it is, I pray you would help us that we could do it. And Lord, use whatever it is, even if it's small and insignificant. And Lord, again, bless us so we can be a blessing to others. And we ask this in Christ's name, and everyone says together, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, Pastor.